Good morning. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 3, God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him. Our service this morning is Holy Communion, and you'll find the service on page 201 in the prayer book. We begin with a greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. A sentence. Jesus said, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We join together in the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Please sit or kneel. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand for the Gloria. The colleague for today, the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and in your great mercy keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt, and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn 518, Bind Us Together, Lord.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with bonds that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one.
The family of promise divine. We are God's chosen desire. We are the glorious new wine.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke. Chapter 12, beginning at the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" He said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, those will they be. Whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord Jesus, on this day we remember the gift of life itself, and all that we have, help us to be thankful and to share our possessions with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Being heavenly minded is often associated with being no earthly use. Well, we're going to question that this morning. These three readings raise the question of the context of heavenly minded and the practical implications of trying to discover a Christian lifestyle. Any church congregation can be diverted by what we might call half-truth teaching. And this was an issue in the early church. Some people who claimed to be wise, in a sense, took the church down a cul-de-sac, like the recurring idea that salvation could be achieved by human effort. Fulfillment from this perspective was a distant goal, but reachable, they claimed, by absorbing certain spiritual teaching and practicing certain spiritual disciplines. Whereas Jesus himself was at pains to proclaim, the kingdom of God is in people's midst. Salvation is present. When we are baptized, one of the gifts is the gift of eternal life. Not then, but now and then. So for us who are the baptized disciples of Jesus in our world, we are offering the message to ourselves, which Jesus gives, of new life. And we are called to offer that new life to the world around us. The consequence of Jesus' life, the gift of his teaching, was culminated in a death and a resurrection. So what's God is suggesting really in this idea of kingdomship or the kingdom of God is letting go of what we might call the old self and desiring what we might call a Christian lifestyle. And there were some hints about this in our readings this morning. God, in that dialogue with the people of Israel, was screaming at them to come into his presence and follow his way. In the epistle, the reading suggests that there are certain activities which are not inclined to be considered Christian lifestyle. For example, anger. So, to go back to where we started, this idea of heavenly minded, the idea of following a God who is both on earth and in heaven. It becomes apparent when we think of the approach of the gospel writers when they were trying to write something down which would commend itself to people to create the question of a new lifestyle. This particular gospel this morning comes from St. Luke, and during this year, we call it year C in the Revised Common Lectionary, we are going through Luke's gospel. But each of the gospel keeps one eye on all that Jesus said and taught and also what he did. The effect of a human life transforming the world. So the question, how to handle our possessions, comes into this concept. Money, possessions. According to Luke, this seemed to be in his midst a real issue for the Christian church. And so we hear how Jesus approached this in the parable of the rich fool. It is pointless to try by amassing and procuring a fortune to guarantee one's own future. We find this in novels, we find this in documentaries, we find this in films, the whole idea of people working themselves into a frenzy to accumulate. And the issue, of course, across the Christian church is the question of possession. When most of the world is on its knees in debt, we continue to want to accumulate in the Western world. It's a real issue. So what is supremely important, therefore, is not to be rich in terms of accumulation of possessions, but to be rich in God's sight. That's really what these three readings are saying. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having money. We need a way of bartering for ourselves to have what we need. But in our world, in the 20th and the 21st century, it has been accumulate, accumulate, and accumulate. So wealth, it's how we define, in terms of a Christian lifestyle, what we mean by wealth. And part of that wealth is the sharing of what we have, the sharing of others. I've been involved with a project in South Sudan for a long time, say a quarter of a century, where I'm going with my watch on, I'm going with all my clothes, I'm going with my passport, I'm going with money, and so on. And so I'm a white man appearing in a situation where people literally have nothing. And so to enable the riches of the wealth to make an impact on the African culture in South Sudan, what we have done is not hand out money. What we've done is we have enabled the people that we are in the midst of to possess for themselves. So the possessing is not accumulating money, it's accumulating skills, like the best way to farm, or the best way to build, or the best way to service a car, or in joinery to produce primary school chairs and tables, for example. That's the sort of wealth we're talking about in that context. So when we talk about wealth, it's how we use what we possess. I have a son who works in Dublin, and recently he was over in England at a board meeting. And it was discovered in the board meeting that in terms of the directors, he somehow or other, in terms of his euros, in terms of salary, was actually getting 16% more than some of the directors in England. It was a bit of an issue when it came up in conversation, but he did not actually decide on his own salary. This was the salary he was given. But it caused a conversation in Herefordshire in a large house hotel about the difference between one jurisdiction and another. He, of course, actually works in Europe. Dublin is actually Europe. And where he was, the company, Levy International, he's part of the UK and Ireland context. So we get all sort of worked up about when I was a young student in the aircraft factory in Belfast, I can remember at this time of the year, the manager I was working with as an undergraduate went on holidays, and I got the lend of my father's car, drove to Belfast from Bangor, and parked in the manager's car park in the space that he was allocated. Now, it caused a consternation because some of the people I was working with had to park out on the aircraft road. It's the whole idea of a value system, of what we think is important. And maybe in our world, we have lost sight of the edge of what it means to actually talk about a Christian lifestyle. The early church, the people who, in a sense, were converted from one sort of lifestyle to a Christian lifestyle, assessed the difference that Christ, by death and resurrection, made for themselves and for their community. So they shared their possessions. They made sure that everyone was looked after. And that's the challenge for us as we look at our world in 2025. To sort of suggest to ourselves the sharing, the service, the possibilities of enabling everyone to have the same advantage as us. It's not that we're saying we're giving up things, but that we're taking on things like this whole question of the debt in the third world or hunger or starvation or whatever. The idea of a profound involvement by Christ-like people can make a difference. The way we speak, the way we think, the way we associate with one another can make a difference. So when I say there's a Methodist preacher, a man called Leslie Weatherhead, and he wrote a very important book at one stage. And this question in Colossians about the lifestyle, what we should do and what we shouldn't do, he said, "I experienced temptation like the next man or woman. But what I said to myself when I was being tempted," he said, "I said to myself, I am baptized. And that makes a difference about how I should lead my life, what I should do. I am baptized." Perhaps that's something that each of us could think about, because the question of lifestyle is apparent in our world. There are so many turmoils going on around our world at present that we have to ask ourselves the question, how can I look at this idea of being called into a community which is earthbound and heavenbound? So we have a continuity of experience being offered through our baptism. It's not an end. It doesn't matter how much we accumulate in this world, we can't take anything of it with us. But what we can take with us is living in the sight of God. God wants us to live now in his presence and in his presence in eternity. Amen. So returning to page 205 in our prayer book, you'll find the Nicene Creed, and we declare our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. And the versicle in response this morning, when I say, Lord of all creation, the response is, keep us in your love. Lord of all creation, keep us in your love. O God, from whom all good things come, give us grace to live to your glory. Give us respect for each other and for all your creation. Fill our lives each day with a sense of wonder. Give us your wisdom in all our dealings. All things come from you. All goodness. May we see your love and grace in all that is about us. Help us to enjoy the world with the great love that you have for the world. May we, as your church, be good stewards of your creation. We pray for organizations of relief, people like Christian Aid, for the Church Mission Society, for other organizations working in situations to create a sense of your creation. So, Lord, of all creation, keep us in your love. Lord, we pray that we will all remember that life cannot be bought or sold. We remember all who are not paid fairly for their work. We pray for places of deprivation, the world's poor, for street children and dwellers in shanty towns, for nations that are suffering from bankruptcy. We ask you to bless all who are working for fair trade and justice. Lord of all creation, keep us in your love. Lord, we give thanks for all that you have given to us. May we use what we have received for ourselves and for the benefit of others and to your glory. We pray for all who have enriched our lives by their care and generosity. And so we ask you this day to bless our homes and this community. Help us to find a peace in your presence. May the community in which we live be an accepting and hospitable community. Lord of all creation, keep us in your love. And so, Lord of all goodness, we remember before you all who this day are suffering the war-torn situations of our world, those who are weary, the malnourished, and the starving, all driven out of their homes and off their land by the greed of others. All have been robbed of their livelihood or their health. We also pray for our friends and loved ones, especially anybody who we know is having a difficulty at this time. Remembering those who may be ill at home or in hospital, nursing home or hospice, for those unable to cope on their own. They may know your compassion and your love. Lord of all creation, keep us in your love. So we give thanks, Lord, for all who, though poor in the eyes of the world, are indeed precious in your sight. And so we spend a moment just thanking God for our own lives. We thank God for the gift of the kingdom of God, kingdom on earth and in heaven. Lord of all creation, keep us in your love. And we sum up our prayers with the words, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your mercy and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore walk in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand for peace. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We turn to thanks and praise, number 9, as we gather at your table. heart, and glory in the victory of life, and all things come for you, and they're all we get. Be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We're using prayer 3 this morning on page 216. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, but we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. blood of Christ shed for you. Draw near. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Let us pray. the post-communion prayer for today. Lord God, whose Son is the true vine and the source of life, ever giving himself that the world may live, may we so receive within ourselves the power of his death and passion, that in his saving cup we may share his glory and be made perfect in his love. For he is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And the thanksgiving prayer, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live to your work and glory. Amen. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Our recessional hymn 374, When All Thy Mercies, O My God.
Serve the Lord.